I echo the things already said and express my appreciation for you coming. Appreciate the reading from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, which introduces the theme of our study, wherein the writer said, "By faith, Abel." The name Abel occurs 16 times throughout the Old and New Testaments. Four of those are used in reference to a place, and the remaining 12 to the person. I call our attention this afternoon to some things the Bible teaches about Abel, the person. I begin by suggesting to us that Abel was born to Adam and Eve. When you go back to the book of Genesis, the origination shows that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. God observed it was not good that the man should be alone. He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam and took a rib from his side, and with the rib that God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. That constituted the first marriage relationship, Genesis 2:18 through 24. And God blessed them with the capacity to be fruitful and multiply, Genesis 1:26 through 28. As a result of that bringing the woman unto the man and multiplication at work, we read in Genesis 4:1-2, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel. And so Abel was among the first sons born to the first parents, Adam and Eve. In the book of Psalms, in 127, in verse 3, the psalmist said, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. From Abel, we're reminded of the fact that marriage is a divine institution originating with God, and it's the place where the Lord provided for children to be born and to be reared. The second thing about Abel, not only was he born to Adam and Eve, but the Bible represents Abel as a keeper of sheep. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, it is said Abel was a keeper of sheep. That's among the first and earliest occupations known to man, that of keeping sheep. If you are familiar with livestock, you know that they don't keep themselves. Right, Charles? There's work involved in keeping livestock. In the book of Proverbs chapter 27, and in verse 23, understand that diligence is required in that kind of work. When wise Solomon said, Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. I suggest to you that we need diligence today. Diligence to work. Like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with what? How many of these do you have? His hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The fact that he was a keeper of sheep says something about him. That requires a man of diligence and work. And that's something that a lot of our young and older alike could learn from today. But also, when I think about Abel, I'm impressed with the fact that the Bible says he brought an offering unto the Lord. We read of the first sacrifices that were offered when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Genesis 4:4. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 shows that his offering was by faith, as Abel is listed among the great faith people of the Bible. By faith, Abel offered unto God. When you understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, and that he offered by faith, then he offered according to the word of God. May it be said of our offering today that it is by faith. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 7, walk by faith, not by sight. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That tells us that the Lord never has accepted just any kind of offering. That rings loud and clear in the day of Malachi. When in Malachi 1 and verse 10, the Lord said, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." If you'd been able, would you have offered by faith unto God a more excellent sacrifice? We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But in addition to that, as you explore the teaching of Scripture with reference to Abel, the book reports that he was slain by his brother. Genesis 4 and in verse 5, when to Cain and his offering, the Lord had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. What happened? Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Here's an individual who in the field was slain by his own brother. It's a reminder that as Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Who knows but what we may be in a field somewhere, be slain. Never know. That happens to people every day. How sad that there are those who, because of anger or other things, would rise up and slay somebody like that. What in the world would cause this man to slay his own brother? Why did that happen? Do we know? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, John gives us the answer. When he urges brethren to love one another, not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he do that, John? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That's why. But also, as you make your study concerning what the Bible teaches about Abel, time and again he is represented as being righteous. If there is one word that you could put next to Abel's name, what would it be? How about the word righteous? Notice how the Lord referred to Abel. In Matthew 23 and verse 35, when he said of the fact that some of them would kill and crucify and be scourged and persecuted, he said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Here the Lord Jesus Christ himself mentioned Abel's name, and he referred to him as righteous Abel. You know, there are two kinds of people, the righteous and the wicked. Abraham made reference to those two groups when he petitioned the Lord on behalf of the people of Sodom. He said, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" The wise man said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And in Matthew 25, when the Lord pictured the judgment scene, he saw the righteous rewarded with life eternal in Matthew 25 and verse 46. Not only did the Lord refer to him as righteous, but remember in that tribute that the Hebrew writer wrote, chapter 11, verse 4, when he talks about the fact that by his more excellent sacrifice, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Witness. That sacrifice was evidence of the fact that he was a righteous man, that he did what was right in the sight of God. Also, in 1 John 3 and 12, John identified Abel as being righteous when he gave the reason as to why Cain rose up and slew his brother, because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. There's always been evil and righteous in this world. And Abel goes down in history as being among the righteous. How about us? What kind of works will describe us? Evil works or righteous works? And then finally, from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, again, note with me verse 4, the fact that Abel still speaks. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, does what? Yet speaketh. Did you know Abel's still speaking, though he's dead? This lesson this afternoon is evidence of the fact that Abel continues to speak. And we need to listen to what he has to say, don't we? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and in verse 24, the writer made reference to that when he said to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Did you know that once you're dead, you'll still be speaking? And that your life and your example will continue to say some things? What will you be saying when you're gone? But notice the blood of Christ is said to speak better things than that of Abel. Do you know the blood of Christ says some things? It might make a good study what the blood of Christ says. The blood of Christ says that Jesus died. You know, it's one of the great facts of the New Testament that Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 3. Whereas the Hebrew writer said in chapter 2 and verse 9 that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The blood says that forgiveness of sins is possible. You remember Jesus gave the reason as to why he shed his blood. Matthew 26, 28. For the remission of sins. That is for the forgiveness of sins. Writing the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. And so as you make your study concerning Abel, all the times he's mentioned in the Word of God, born to Adam and Eve, a keeper of sheep, brought an offering unto the Lord, slain by his brother, righteous, and still speaks. A lot of good lessons to be learned from what the divine record says about Abel. Appreciate you listening. Should you be in this audience and need to make your life right with God, we invite you to come, believing and obeying in the repentance, confession of your faith, and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you might contact that better blood that says so much. And then, if you've become a child of God, but you've not been what you need to be, your works aren't right, would you repent of that and confess your sin unto God, and we'll pray about it as we stand and sing, won't you come?